flesh, greeting, welcoming us into your presence as we come before you through Christ's blood. What a blessing that we get, not only to stand before you, but to stand clothed in Christ's righteousness, to be able to boldly come before you and confidently make requests to you, God of heaven, this whole universe, creator of everything. Everything is at your disposal. You control everything. And yet we can come before you, and we have a simple request this morning, and that is that your Son be exalted, that you would be praised, and that we would be glorified. So be with us and help us, Lord, to have hearts and minds that are focused and attentive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If I was to ask you a question of what are the Christian duties, what are those things that inherently mark a Christian, I wonder what your list would look like. And naturally, there's things that we would say things like, come to church, and here we are at church. And naturally, I think that we would also say to read the Bible or to pray, right? We'd say to be discipled or be discipling. These are things that really mark a believer, that mark a Christian. But there are several things that I have left out for the sake of time. But I wonder if you would have this one thing on your list, this one thing. You probably, like I said, have come to church. You probably have read your Bible. You probably have prayed. You probably have a disciple. But do you have this as a mark of a believer, a Christian? Do you have witnessing as one of the Christian duties? Because there was a time in church history where Christians were not just called Christians. Christians and the wrong words. It started that way. They sought to make fun of believers who went the way of Christ. And since the world thought Christ was crazy, they thought that it was an insult to call his followers Christians. But before they were known as those of the way, and they were known as his witnesses. Why? Because not only did they witness things of Christ, but they testify to the things of Christ. And it is a sad, sad state that the church is in, where witnesses have forgotten that they're witnesses. And we have sought to renew church and renew Christianity with what makes us comfortable, because let's just be honest, witnessing is not very comfortable. So we like to kind of scoot away from that and redefine Christianity without the witnessing. If that is you this morning, then this sermon is going to be very uncomfortable, and I do not apologize for God's word. What we have in God's word this morning is so clear, is so cut and dry, you have to just deny God, his Son, and his word if you're not going to follow him. This morning we're going to this morning's sermon is actually point four of last week's sermon that I was not able to get to. So it's only one point. Some of you have a week to think about it, and all 3 points. And so maybe last week I had a 7-point sermon that I didn't know about or something. But last week, the fourth point was urgency and evangelism. So guess what the title of the sermon is? Urgency and evangelism. The Lord Jesus has revealed to us his heart in evangelism in this portion of Scripture. By his obedience, by Jesus' obedience to the Father, he would not be pulled away from God's will in evangelizing. Additionally, perhaps without even knowing it, the marriage movement went out into the field of the town and gathered the harvest that she's bringing currently to the Lord as he is speaking with his disciples. And one thing that we need to remember, and there was a point that I tried to impress upon us last week, and that is this: evangelism will naturally flow out of a life of faith as we are followers of Jesus' example. Evangelism will naturally flow out of a life of faith as we follow Jesus' example. We are in John chapter 4, so please turn there with me. John chapter 4. This morning we will look at verses 35 through 38. John 4, 35 through 38. John capturing these words of Jesus writes, "Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for the life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." There is an urgency in evangelism. We need to think about evangelism with a sense of urgency and not let complacency set in our hearts. You see, because complacency will fasten your heart. It will fasten your heart. And what I mean by that is complacency will build this layer, this thick layer, where your heart should be moved with compassion as you look out on a field and you see that people will perish. They will stand before their Creator. You will stand before your Creator. I will stand before my Creator. And at that time, there is no one of them. There is no second chance of giving up rationality. That would have been infinity chance. Because every breath that you breathe in name of God who's given to you is second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance. And we just push them off, push them off, we just push them off, and we push them off. The first thing I want us to think about in verse 35 is having eyes to see. We need to have eyes to see. I never wondered what Jesus' intentions for God. open your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look at the harvest. And Jesus did not look at people in a superficial, what was there on the outside way. He looked at individuals spiritually. So you see somebody and they're all put together, well polished, they're doing well, and they don't praise God. What's the state of their soul? And if you do not go there and you do not ask that spiritual question, you won't know. There's a bad side of it. And if that's you, if you're lost and you are not in Christ, you do not believe in the Lord Jesus, it is a terrible thing. As you have probably read into dozens, hundreds, thousands of Christians that have kept their mouth silent in sinful stuff. But that's not going to happen this morning. The Lord Jesus said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for the harvest." And he doesn't tell his disciples to look back at Jerusalem because they just left you. He doesn't say, "Look back there. That place is ripe for harvest." No, he tells them to lift up their eyes and look on the fields that are around them, for those fields are ripe for harvest. And I wasn't there, so I can't tell you what the fields look like or where the fields were. But I know this for a fact. There was a field that was moving in his direction. You see, think of that Samaritan woman. She left her water pot, she ran into town, and she went and she spoke to people, and she told the men of the town, "Let me tell you, I have met somebody that has told me all the things about me, and it's not due to Christ." And they got up, and now they're on their way to see Jesus. And as they're approaching Jesus, Jesus is with his disciples at the well, and he tells the disciples, "Look at the field." And he is about to demonstrate to them something that he has not labored, but Moses labored because they read Moses, and he is about to read. But Moses saw in their heart. He is about to reach them. She told them, "Come and see." And that's it. When is the last time that you have said, "Come, see"? They make fun of your faith. They make fun of your church. They change your sign all the time. It looks great. Well, come and see. Don't you hear the sign? But, beloved, if this is your church, I want to say this in all love. It would be absolutely shameful our sign evangelizes our community better than us. It's a sign. We have the Holy Spirit. We need to preach better than our sign is. Our sign can't get over the moon. Our sign can't ask how's your wife doing? How's your children? How are your children doing? Lord, we need to have eyes that are able to look around and see more than the physical thing. When you look at the barn, is it just a bar, or is the barn a field? When you look at the American Legion, is it just another place, or let's go to drink, or is that a field yet to be harvested for Christ? If you look at the Jehovah's Witness building, it is not a church. Field. When you drive past the senior center or the community center, I don't want to insult anybody older than me. Is it just a place to get lunch and play bingo? Or is it a field? know for a fact that somebody has them in mind, spiritually thinking about what is going to happen to their soul.
Announcements, nobody stretch our life a day longer, a second longer, a breath longer. The Lord knows. And that's a day that there will never be death. Jude says, snatching us out of the fire. He's talking about the fire that they are currently in. There is no snatching anyone out of God's consuming wrath of final condemnation. You cannot remove a soul from there. Jude is not talking about that. He is talking about this initial fire that people are in right now from their state of unbelief. And so Jude preaches, get there now. Pull it out of the fire right now. Do not wait. Do not delay. Get them. Go while you have time. There is no time tomorrow. Jesus came out with the harvest of the devil's day, but today is God's. Satan does not care how spiritual your intentions are or how holy your resolutions are if only they are determined to be done tomorrow.
Thank you.
put his body to the test just to get to that well in time. When the 12 other men said, we need to go get food, he said, he needed to go to the evangelist. He had food that was not wasted, and was to do the will of God. He labored. He labored. So when we think about what Jesus said about entering into their labor, we need to consider this. How many times do we just want to take the keys away? We don't want to deny Christ. We don't want to not go to church. We don't want to just stop all those Christian practices. But we wouldn't like them far enough. We wouldn't like some us. We wouldn't like maybe to coast a little bit or a little more comfort. But Christ set the example and rooted himself, put himself to that test of physical labor, and then he helped his disciples. That's the labor that they have joined in. And they didn't volunteer. He says, you've got to enter into their labor. Jesus is the son of us, and right into that work. Now we need to ask ourselves, if we are saved, and Jesus says, enter us into that work of witnessing and testifying, who are we to say, nope, I've got to think about it in Christianity anymore. Who are we to say anymore? Jesus labored. But not only did Jesus labor, the New Testament tells us that Paul also labored in 1 Corinthians 15:10. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace for me did not prove vain, but I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Paul fully gave himself into gospel ministry, into the ministry that God called him to. So it is not the spiritual gifts or some habit, some don't have it. We are all called to witness and co-labor in this gospel ministry according to our giftedness and how God has equipped us. Our life is not our own. We have been called into this labor. Whether you are an elder or not, whether you are a pastor or not, verse 16:5-17 says that elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor or work hard at preaching and teaching. But if you're not an elder in the church, but you are likewise giving yourself over to gospel ministry and are working just as hard, as Paul mentioned, people at the end of the book of Romans, in Romans 16:6, he says, good Mary, who has worked hard for you. And then in 16:12, he says, greet Trifenium and Triphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Crescens, the beloved, who has worked hard in the Lord. So whether you are an elder or you're not an elder, and everybody else that's working in the church, you are called to this labor. The church is called as one body into this labor of gospel ministry. But I've never done it this day. Well, why not? What are you waiting for? Who knows you want to? Can somebody take your liberty card? No. That's ridiculous. So what else do? We have to consider this. It grieves our Lord. When he was looking out at Matthew 9:36-38, it says, see the people family, find somebody and share that with them, that they can crave and rejoice. Let your turn to Christ now be the reason.